I'm going to give you a little bit of background on this message. Last Sunday night, there was about eight of us. Well, let me start. I'm going to say this. You know, I don't ever count the people that come in, but I just, for whatever reason, I just felt kind of led to count today. And you guys have heard me talk about the parable of the sower, where Jesus says that the Word of God lands on good ground, one out of every four seeds. So if you do the math, that's 25%. I counted today, there's 25 people here. So we got some good ground in this place today. So that's just one of those little funnies for me. But anyway, last Sunday night, there was about eight of us here, and we were just kind of sharing some things, and we prayed at the end of the service, and there was something that there was a prayer request that had been made, and that's where the whole basis for this message came from that one statement. I'm not going to say who made the statement, but it was Danetta. It wasn't bad. It was good. It was good because you're going to like this. Isaiah 54, verse number 17. This is a verse that we all quote part of. But I want you to look at it today because we're going to look at the whole verse, and then we're going to go somewhere. I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to draw you all a picture in just a few moments. How many people are familiar with the first part of this verse? No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Everybody's familiar with that verse, correct? Let's read the rest of it. Every tongue that accuses you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, declares the Lord. Father God, we pause to give you thanks one more time today. We thank you for what you've done in this service up to this point, God. I thank you for those that have made it out here this afternoon. Lord, as we've went through this radical change, God, we just give you praise, Lord, that we're not worried about the time. We're worried about spending time in your presence today. And God, I give you thanks. I give you praise, Lord, for the increase in our Sunday school class today. Lord, what a blessing for Brother Joe. I just give you thanks for that. I thank you for the word that he shared here this morning. Now, Lord, we thank you for the praise and worship time. We thank you for the songs that have been sung in this place today. God, we thank you for the time of prayer. Lord, how your spirit has just broke through in this place today. Now, God, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you for what you're going to do, what you are going to accomplish. God, your word says that it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish and it will prosper in that place where you send it. And Lord, I just give you thanks for that today. I pray in the name of Jesus that you anoint your servant today, that you anoint every man, woman, and child. It's whether they're here in the sanctuary or whether they're listening to this somewhere around this globe. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. God bless your hearts. You may be seated. I want to ask you all a question. Now, Pastor Wilson got a little taste of this on Friday because I wasn't sure if him and Brother Cleve was going to be able to be here for this service today. Brother Cleve is working, apparently, because he's not here. So Pastor Wilson is one step up on us, so I'm going to ask him not to flip over the apple cart, so to speak. If you and I were to go to a new doctor today, other than do you have insurance, what is the first question you're going to get asked? Nope. You're going to get, no, not even going to get that. They've already got your name on record. They're going to ask you, what is your medical history? They're going to ask you, what runs in your family? This past week, I want to give a praise report. This past week, I had to go to a urologist in Morgantown. They found traces of blood, and they wanted me to get, my doctor wanted me to get checked out, and I went up, I went through the test, what they had me do, and I give God praise because there was no blood to be found. They asked me to come back in February just to, for a follow-up, but I just give God thanks that there was nothing there to be found. When I go to a new doctor and they ask that question, what runs in your family, I have the privilege of really baffling every doctor I ever see. Because they say, well, what runs in your family? And I get to look at them and say, I don't have a clue. And I get all these doctors looking at me and they're going, well, what do you mean? And then I say, well, my mom and dad adopted me. They chose me. They didn't get stuck with me. My mom gave me an amen, but my dad said nothing just now, so silence speaks volumes. But anyhow, when I give that answer, that seems to satisfy. But I want you to think about something. How many of us in here today, now I cannot answer this question, but how many of us in here today, cancer runs in your family? There's a history of cancer. Let's just take a poll here. Cancer runs in your family. How many people have high blood pressure? It runs in their family. Sugar diabetes. Heart attacks. Some of y'all, who raised your hand more than twice? Wow. Now I want you to think about, we got a lot to pray about here today. I want you to think about something. If this represents you, and you go to the new doctor and they say, what's your medical history? I know you're not going to be able to see this very good from out there. My board's not that big, but you'll be able to understand what I'm saying. Then you're going to say, well, on my mom's side, this runs. On my dad's side, this runs in the family. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a moment, because we look at this and we say, well, on my dad's side of the family, this is how it goes, and on my mom's side of the family, this is how it goes. Now, I want you to think of how this thing expands, because if it's on your mom's side, she also had two parents. If it's on your dad's side, he had two parents, and each one of them had two parents, and each one of them had two. Have you ever stopped to think about that? That everything about you can go back generations. Your medical history goes back generations. You know, you hear a lot nowadays, just all different types of things. I mean, I've heard about Alzheimer's more in the last 5 years than I had at any point in my life. And people talk about that being something that is an inherited trait from, you know, family, from further down their family, and again, you know, heart attacks and just different things, different types of medical things. But we just said a few, and everybody in here, except for me, because I just don't know, but everybody in here raised their hand. So you see the different kind of things that run in your family. Now, with that being said, and I want you to remember this little sad-looking picture that I drew. God speaking through the prophet Isaiah said, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that accuses you in judgment you will condemn. He says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication is from me. Now, Amplified Bible, same verse. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall show to be in the wrong. Now look at this. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Did you see that? Look at the thing. This is why I like the Amplified Bible so much, because look at what's in the brackets here. This peace, this righteousness, this security, this triumph over opposition. These things are the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtained from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. Now I want you to look here. Right here in the middle of the verse it says, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. Now, you see that the phrase servant of the Lord is capitalized. What does that tell us? Speaking about Jesus Christ. God says that those that are linked to His heritage, in those, the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. Meaning, what did Paul say? He said, to be followers of God as dear children. You do your research on that, and what that means is to be as close of a near mirror image of Jesus Christ as you can possibly be in this life. That the image of God, the image of Jesus Christ the Son, and the image of the Holy Spirit reflects in you. Now, let's do some Bible study here today. He tells us here that protection and vindication come solely from the Lord. How many of us have been guilty of making this statement? Somebody maybe said something about you, or maybe somebody did something, or the illustration that Brother Joe gave at the end of Sunday school. Maybe somebody's animal did something to your property. Who knows? But how many of us have said something along these lines, I'm going to get them back? You guys are so holy in here today. Now, you notice not one person raised their hand. Earlier, everybody's raising their hand. I changed the side. I flipped the switch on you. You know, when somebody says something about us and when somebody does something that offends us or hurts somebody in our family, the natural reaction for you and I is to act out and speak out against that. But this passage of Scripture tells us that our protection and our vindication comes solely from the Lord. I want you to remember this fact. He always looks out for those that are His. Everyone that is linked to God, He looks out for. It's not what God says that causes us trouble. It's what we say that causes us trouble. It's what comes out of this mouth that causes me trouble. What is a heritage? Looking at this word here in Isaiah chapter 54, verse number 17, he said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. All right, let's look at this verse again. He says, this peace, this righteousness, this security, this triumph over opposition. Going back to the beginning of the verse, the fact that no weapon formed against you and I shall ever prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against us in judgment will be shown to be in the wrong. That is the heritage of the Lord. That victory belongs to you and I. Heritage, by definition, is something that is inherited. It can be what was left to you in the will. That's something that's inherited. What about inherent traits? We just took a poll there a little bit ago that we're familiar with the fact there are things medically that are passed down from grandparent, great-grandparent, parents. You know, you hear sometimes people say, well, it skips a generation in my family. Those types of things are inherited traits. All right, let's go one step further. Let's forget about the medical thing, and I'm just trying to paint a picture here as we get started. How many of you look like your mother? How many of you look like your father? My daughter raised her hand at Mama, because if you look at Crystal and Georgia, it's almost like looking in a mirror. And then I said, how many look like their daddy? And I see my little one back here behind the window with her hand raised. How many of you act like your mama? Put your hand down, child. How many of you act like your daddy? Now you can raise your hand, Georgia Dawn. A heritage is something that's inherited. An inheritance or an inherited trait is something that starts at the top. Some of you are going to get this. It starts at the top and it trickles down. An inherited trait or a heritage is something that starts from the top and works its way down. Now I want you to think about this, and I meant to check this out, but the Mississippi River, the largest river in our country, doesn't start as a big river. How many of you have seen the Mississippi River? It's a big river. What makes the Mississippi as big as it is? You've got all these other little rivers, different places throughout the country that trickle down and filter into that river. I said that to say this. A heritage is something that filters from different sources and it flows into one outlet. Now, let's do some study here. I want you to go with me to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Keeping in mind that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, to be imitators of God or to be followers of God as beloved children. Keeping that in mind, Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, Paul writes this. Therefore, there is right now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amplified says, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. How much condemnation is there to those that belong in Christ Jesus? According to what Paul wrote, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, you look at this verse in the Amplified Bible. It says, there is no adjudging guilty of wrong to those that are in Christ Jesus. What was Jesus Christ guilty of in his life here on this planet? Absolutely nothing. He was guilty of nothing. He was found guilty, but he had committed no crime. He paid a penalty, but he had done nothing wrong. What this tells us here is this. Going back to what I read to you there in Ephesians, what we know according to Scripture is that you and I are created in the likeness of our God. Every one of us are created. You look around here and you see a reflection of God in every face. You see a reflection of God in every personality. You see a reflection of God in every body. Because he said, let us make man in our image. So that's more than just the Father. Okay, let's now prove it to me. Go back with me to Genesis chapter 1. Like I said, we're going to do a little bit of a study here. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. Is everybody there? Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So you go back to the beginning of this verse, God said, let us make man in our image. What did he mean by that? You remember what I said a little bit ago? That an inheritance or a heritage is something that filters from different sources and it ends up at one outlet. You and I are created in the image of not only the Father, but we're also created in the image of the Son, and we're also created in the image of the Holy Spirit. How do we have that heritage? How do we obtain that heritage? We'll answer that question in just a moment. Flip over to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1. People get hung up on wording. They'll look at Genesis 1:26 and say, well, God said, let us make man in our image. Okay, let's see what Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. And he blessed them and named them man in the day when they were created. I've heard people say, well, where did the title woman come from? And I've heard them crack jokes and they say, look at the spelling of woman, W-O-M-A-N. And that when Adam first laid eyes on the most beautiful thing he had ever seen, the only thing he could say was, whoa, man. Man and woman, male and female, created in the likeness and the image of God. So ladies, you're not excluded from this. Not only are us guys an image of God, so are you now. We're going to shift gears here. I want you to jump over with me to James chapter number 3. There's a passage in James chapter 3. For those of you that were in here when we were praying before the service, you remember what I said, that by the time that we leave out of here today, teach us all how to talk better? Remember me saying that? Well, what does that have to do with us being created in the likeness and the image of God? James chapter 3 tells us a lot about us. It tells us a lot about the stuff that comes out of our mouths that can cause us a lot of trouble. But I want you to look at something here. James chapter 3, starting in verse number 8. The Apostle James writes and says, "But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison." Look at verse number 9. If you're a Bible marker, put a star, a highlight, something by James chapter 3, verse number 9. "With that tongue, we bless our Lord and Father. God, I give you praise today. I lift up the name that is above all names. I glorify the name of God in this place today." With that very same tongue, the Apostle James writes, "We bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men." Look at the next phrase, "who have been made in the likeness of God." From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Let me ask you this. There's more than one way. The Bible tells us that it's against God's law for any one of us to kill. Thou shalt not kill. How many of us have ever committed physical murder? We all got our hands down, because to my knowledge, nobody in here has ever murdered anybody. How many of us are guilty of committing verbal assassination, verbal murder, character assassination? How many of us have talked about someone else to someone else? How many of us have slandered somebody's name? How many of us have destroyed somebody's reputation by just simply the words that have come out of our mouths? Every one of us in here are guilty at one time or another. The only ones that maybe have not committed this yet are the two youngest ones that are here. Every one of us in here are guilty of slandering somebody, of assassinating somebody else's character. And you know what God says about this? He says, "My brothers." James the Apostle, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, says, "My brothers, these things ought not to be this way." So we see in Genesis chapter 1 that man is created in the image of God. We see in Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, that male and female are created in the likeness and the image of God. Now we see here in James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, that our tongue blesses God, but it also curses man who has been created in the likeness and the image of God. Now we go back to Romans chapter 8, and I want you to flip back there with me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 1 says, "There is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." Now I want you to look at something else here. This is something that will step on your toes. Are you ready? This is something that's going to make every one of us uncomfortable, and that's a good thing. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, the Bible says this, New American Standard. It says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." All who are, when you're talking about someone else, when you're bad-mouthing someone else, are you led of the Spirit of God? Is that the Spirit of God speaking for you? If you're trashing another human being, if you're trashing somebody in your church, if you're trashing, I'm speaking to people out in internet land now. If you are trashing your pastor behind his or her back, you think for one second that that is led of the Spirit of God? Absolutely not. A friend of mine, whose grandmother happens to be in this church today, he's not only a pastor, but he's also a basketball coach. He posted a message on Facebook a couple days ago, and it's a picture of empty bleachers in a gymnasium. And he said, "This is the easiest place for people to coach from. Everybody in the bleachers can do a better job than what the coach does." People in the congregation of the church can do better than what the worship team does. Well, if I was them, I'd have sung this. If I was them, I'd have played it this way. Or they can do it better than maybe even me. Maybe, if I was him, I'd have preached it this way. I'd have said this. I'd have said that. If I had to make that decision, this is how I would have handled it. You don't know what you would have done. The point is this. It's easy for you and I to sit back and be armchair quarterbacks. It's easy for you and I to sit back and bless God with the same tongue that we turn around and use to curse men. And then Paul writes here again. He says, "Those that are led of the Spirit of God, those that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you," look at this, "for you have not," now this, not only does this step on your toes, but it also gives you a reason to shout. Look what he says. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba or Daddy, Father. That's exciting to think for a moment, folks, that God has claimed every one of us for His family. He's claimed every one of us for His heritage. By you and I being claimed for His heritage, you and I have a right to the inheritance. When you think, when you hear the word inheritance, what's the first thing that you think of? Money, 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 money. A house, a boat, something. Let's read on. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. Same verses amplified says it this way. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Look at this. Is this up here? The Spirit producing sonship. See, it's more than just talking about having a relationship with God. The Spirit links you with God. You have been adopted as sons and daughters. The Spirit which produces sonship, look at this, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, I like the way the Amplified says this, Abba, Father, Father. The word Abba, for those of you that have never heard this before, is an Aramaic word that's translated daddy. It's in the Hebrew culture, the word Abba is more times than not the first word that a baby says. Here in our culture, what's the first word a baby usually says? Dada. Daddy. That's what Abba means. It's the Aramaic variation of what we say dada or daddy here in this country. Next verse, verse 16. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also. What does an heir get? An heir gets the inheritance. An heir has a right to the heritage. If we are His children, then we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. I want you to listen. What is associated with the Heavenly Father? What is associated with Jesus Christ? And what is associated with the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for this? Those characteristics and that identity becomes your identity when you accept Christ Jesus as your Savior. The minute that you said, Jesus, I want you and I need you in my heart. I ask you to be my Savior today. The minute that you made that true commitment, the identity and the heritage and the characteristics of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now became part of your identity. Those became your characteristics. His inheritance became your inheritance. Is everybody with me? What is associated with Him becomes who you are. Let's go back. How many of us, I can't answer this question, but how many of us, heart disease runs in our family? How many of us, blood sugar? How many of us, Alzheimer's? Can I ask you a question? I want you to think about this. Number one, are you a child of the Most High God? Let's see our hands in here now. How many of us are children of the Most High God? Some of you need to pray for you because I didn't see every hand go up. If you're a child of the Most High God, God help me. I'm going to meddle for a few minutes. The Bible tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. It doesn't say life and death. It says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Meaning that we need to be a little more cautious about the words we speak. How many of us have been guilty of praying the problem rather than the promise? All of us. Every one of us are guilty. But you know, here's the unique thing about our God. The Bible tells us that He knew what our needs were before we even asked. So why do we spend so much time praying the problem? Okay, we know that the Word of God says that His Word will not return unto Him void, but it will accomplish what He sets it out to accomplish. And it will prosper in the place where He sends it. Now I want you to think about this. It runs in my family, blood sugar. It runs in my family, heart attacks. It runs in my family, cancer. I want to teach you something before you walk out of these doors today. Whose family do you belong to? Where's your inheritance coming from? Your inheritance isn't coming from mama and daddy. We got to get our minds reprogrammed here and start speaking the right thing. Maybe in your family, those kind of medical things run. But you know what runs? See, I can tell every doctor in America. I don't have a clue what runs in my natural family. But you know what I can say to every doctor throughout this world? I can say, I don't know what runs in my natural family. But by God, I can tell you what runs in my spiritual family. And in my spiritual family, I have peace that runs in my body. I have joy that runs in my life. I have prosperity that runs in my life. I have healing that runs in my life. You want to lay claim to those things? You know, I sit back, folks, and I look over the course of my life, and I wonder, why in the world did God allow my life to go the way that it went? And you know what? God allowed me to be given up for adoption, to be brought into a good Christian home and a good Christian family, to be raised the way that I was raised, for everything that I've learned in the last week to say, stop speaking what runs in the natural and start speaking what runs in the supernatural. Listen, we can talk, well, you know what? The United States of America is guilty of pushing off this or pushing off that or doing this, treating groups this way, treating groups that way. You know what? Let the United States of America be guilty of all those things, because the leadership in the United States of America, one of these days, whether they want to or not, they're going to have to bow down at the name that is above all names. But you know what? The nation within the nations can say, you know what? We take care of the widows. We take care of the poor. In our family, we take care of the missionary. That's what runs in our family. Folks, you don't have... Listen, I am absolutely convinced. People say, well, where does sickness come from? It doesn't come from God. Sickness doesn't come from God. So what's the source? You remember what I told you? Everything has a source. And it filters down from the head, and it ends up at a certain outlet. You want me to tell you what diseases are? You want me to tell you what things that attack people's mind? You know what those things are? They're spirits. It's spiritual warfare, not warfare of the flesh. You can think I'm crazy if you want to, but I'm absolutely convinced that cancer is a spirit. I believe Alzheimer's is a spirit. I believe heart conditions are of a spiritual nature. What blood runs through your veins? You know, I've heard about this, and I've heard this study several times, but I've heard there are doctors around this world that have done, Christian doctors have done studies on this. And they have noticed, they've done studies on people that were Christian and non-Christian alike. And you know what I've heard? That when they have taken blood samples from someone who is truly a child of God, their blood is different than it was prior. That something in their blood has changed. You know, have you ever wondered why we call each other brother and sister? Have you ever wondered that? Why it's just not Mr. and Mrs. so-and-so, or this is my friend, so this is my brother, this is my sister. You know why we do that? Because the minute that we hit our knees and said, Jesus Christ, I accept you as my Savior. You want me to tell you what happened? You received a blood transfusion. What was there before got pushed out, and God injected you with a new kind of blood. My father's inheritance is, and in my daddy's family, there's healing. In my daddy's family, there is no fear. Stand with me today. Put Romans chapter 8, verse 1 back up there in the New American Standard, please. Again, how many of us are children of the Most High God? Now, how many of you can say that you know what runs in your family now? This garbage doesn't run in our family, folks. We may get attacked by it. We may get attacked by it. But no weapon formed against us will ever prosper. By His stripes, we are healed. I can do all things. That's what my ring says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not about the stress test. It's not about the doctor-mandated exercise. Yes, those things are good. Yes, we need to follow doctor's orders, because if there was no use for doctors, then God wouldn't have given people the wisdom and the knowledge to become doctors. Are you ready for this? One man who wrote two books of the New Testament, the book of Luke and the book of Acts, guess what his profession was? He was a doctor. And I'm not telling you to ignore doctor's orders. But I'm telling you, we need to start putting our faith where it needs to be. And our faith is not in heart medicine. Our faith should not be in an insulin shot. Our faith shouldn't, you know... We went this past week. I had to go this past week and renew my insurance for 2016. Last year, for five of us, I paid $129 a month. Got a paper about a month and a half ago. For all five of us, our insurance premium for 2016, $363. Nothing changed, except we all got 1 year older. Went over, the agent did some homework, and we got it at a more reasonable rate. The kids are taken care of. Now, Crystal and I, we still pay more than what we would have paid last year, or what we did pay this past year. You know, we look at these things and, well, I don't want to do this because there's not that much money in the bank. I can't afford to do that. Your faith should not be based on a dollar sign. In my father's family, there is prosperity. And it's more, yes, it is financial prosperity, but it's physical prosperity, it's mental prosperity. You know, some of the most creative minds are sitting in this room right now, or standing in this room right now. Some of the most creative minds that have ever walked this planet are standing in this room right now. You know why? Because you and I have the mind of Christ. The greatest blueprint for anything that mankind can ever do is found right here from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. I have a friend that used to tell me the blueprints for a nuclear submarine are found right here in the pages of God's Word. And I looked at him the first time he ever said that. I looked at him, I thought he was crazy. He said, there's wisdom and knowledge to be found in this. He said, the most creative minds are the minds that are linked to the mind of Christ.